Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
It's a discussion of the latest entertainment news and celebrity gossip that go beyond the headlines. Welcome to Daily Pop, the podcast edition.
All right, right now it is time for Daily Pop. This is Morgan and Aaron, and I'm Carissa, and we have a lot to discuss today. First up, Jillian Michaels is under fire for body shaming Lizzo. Did she go too far? Then why did Meghan and Harry blindside the Queen with their shocking announcement? What's next for them? We have so many questions. Melanie is going to come in and break it all down for us. Plus, Megyn Kelly gets emotional about the humiliating moment she was asked to twirl for Roger Ailes. All right, but let's get to Jillian Michaels first. So she took aim at Lizzo's body, and the internet is coming for her. So listen to what she said on AM to DM by BuzzFeed News.
Why are we celebrating her body? Why does it matter? That's what I'm saying. Like, why aren't we celebrating her music? Because it isn't going to be awesome if she gets diabetes.
Well, I want to ask you.
I'm just being honest. Like, I love her music. Like, my kid loves her music. But there's never a moment where I'm like, and I'm so glad that she's overweight. Like, why do I even care? Like, why is it my job to care about her weight?
Okay, so she caught some heat for that. After that, Jillian clarified on Twitter. She says, we are all beautiful, worthy, and equally deserving. I also feel strongly that we love ourselves enough to acknowledge there are serious health consequences that come with obesity. I would hope we prioritize our health because we love ourselves and our bodies. So how do we feel about all of this?
I know. I feel like, do you feel differently after seeing the sod? I feel like, obviously, Jillian Michaels is somebody that is so embedded in the health game. She obviously takes very good care of herself. She does personal training. I think that she genuinely, I think the tone in which she said it, I think, really rubbed people the wrong way. I think if she was like, I love Lizzo, I love her music, as she said, I just hope that she's taking care of herself because I would hate for her to come into any sort of contact with a disease that could happen from being overweight. Or just, I think there was a harshness to what she said that I don't think she intended, and that's why I think people are reacting the way that they are.
That is Jillian's style, right? Like, we've had her on the show, and I love her because she is and she really is a very sweet person, and she does say things without, you know, trying to filter herself to make sure it sounds
perfect. Which I appreciate. It's not easy to do that in this time.
However, you know, but Jamila Jamil sent out a tweet, and she says, she called it concern shaming. And it's kind of true. It's kind of that where you're not blatantly necessarily saying, like, you are this or you are that, like, saying it out. Like, but I'm concerned for you. Like, a lot of bad things could happen to you for you being this overweight. It's like kind of like another way of being shady, where it's like, you just don't worry about me. You do you. I do me.
But
we'll be fine.
Yeah. Also, Lizzo doesn't just have to be a musician. There was a time when I'm sure that she wasn't this body positive, or there was actually a time where we weren't celebrating all types of bodies. And now that we finally are, and that she has become this staple and this pillar for people who maybe
look
didn't
like her.
Yeah, exactly. And
who
so, and we don't know her lifestyle. Maybe she is this way, but maybe she is a vegan. Maybe she is making healthier lifestyle choices. We don't know that. And so for her to come out and be like, well, it'd be a shame if she got diabetes, I think that just kind of set everyone back and just rubbed everyone the wrong way. And if you are concerned, yeah, there is a nicer, lighter way of expressing that.
Yeah, I agree. I also think Lizzo is such a positive, you know, role model for girls, because this is the thing. Not everybody's weight is their decision, right? Genetics play a huge role into it. Sometimes it's really easy for people to lose weight. Sometimes it's not. So unfortunately, if you are going to be somebody that it's harder for you to lose weight, then you need to, and it's amazing that Lizzo can be who she is and be completely empowered by herself and be that sort of person for young girls who are growing up and maybe don't feel as comfortable around their friends who are all thinner than they are.
Yeah.
So we need the people like Lizzo in the world.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't necessarily... Do you guys think that we're ever going to drop the conversation? I don't really like that Lizzo's health is always the conversation. That's the one thing that Jillian, I thought, was touching on. She said it in a terrible way, but touching on, like, can we just talk about her music and not, like, always focus on her weight? Or do you think that's going to be something that's always associated with Lizzo?
Well, I think as long as Lizzo is talking about it and being a positive role model for for anyone, I think that we're gonna talk about it as long as she is. So
she's a role model for people loving themselves no matter what they look like, and I think that is a very positive message. I understand, but the reality is, and I said this to you guys in the meeting, like if somebody looks a certain way, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to have diabetes or they're going to have a heart attack or they're going to have health issues. I had a friend pass away very recently who was the epitome of health, didn't drink alcohol, worked out multiple days a week, did marathons, and his heart stopped.
Yeah.
So you know, it's not just the way someone looks, does it pertain to how healthy they are, as you said.
Right.
So
yeah.
You can't just...
Don't assume
you
that.
You can't assume and sort of group people into a box based on how much they weigh.
Right.
All right, guys, let's move on because now we have got to talk about the royals.
No.
Melanie is here to break down all of the drama. Welcome to the show. Okay, so as you guys probably heard yesterday, Meghan and Harry are taking a step back from their roles as senior members of the royal family. Mm. Buckingham Palace released a very short statement right after their surprise announcement saying discussions are going on with the Duke and Duchess and that these are complicated issues which will take time to work through. So, Melanie, there are reports out there claiming the Queen is not happy about this. Do you feel she was blindsided and was blindsided by this? Do you believe those?
I 100% believe them. Look, there is the official statement that was released. That's a formal statement. And then there are the unofficial statements that have gone out to all the media. The royal family are usually covering up the cracks. They don't want people to know about a rift, right? This public statement and the unofficial, like, source quotes that are coming out from Buckingham Palace are showing that there is a rift in this family and the Queen is not happy. And I don't blame them, right? I am all for Harry and Meghan having their own life and going independent. But releasing a statement, taking everybody by surprise, I would be hurt. That's one of the words that's being used. I would be disappointed. I would be shocked too.
What if they thought
their
thinking was, she's never going to give us her blessing on this. It's never going to happen. So it's either we just do it or we don't ever get the chance to.
I think that's why they've done what they've done, because they felt that they had no choice. But gosh, I just do feel a little bit sorry for the Queen. She's 93 years old. She's had one of her sons and his connection to Jeffrey Epstein being everywhere. She's now got, you know, this happening with Harry and Meghan.
Mm-hmm.
The monarchy is changing. There are cracks in the foundations of the monarchy, and it's happening right before our eyes.
And this is something, I mean, she's like, I've gone through 93 years of this, and you're giving me grief now. Like, what is going on?
I know.
And I feel like we've seen this happen, obviously, like, within the crown, and when... who was it that gave up the crown?
Yes, it's her uncle.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. So, we've seen this before. You've said this. It's like the spare heir is always the one that doesn't really know where they fit. And I just feel like... But it's still his lineage. It's still his family. He still needs
to
be...
I know, but darling, is it the family? Is it the public company, the public firm that comes first? Or is it your wife and your son?
Right.
And actually, it's your wife and your son, especially when you're sixth in line to the throne. Hopefully, he's never going to be called to be, like, king, right? That would be a disaster. So, like, for him, it's like, I've done my duty. I've been the spare heir. I've been there by William's side. I've been the number two my whole life. Now it's time for me to put myself first and my family first.
So you agree with the decision, but
I just feel like
they should have asked her.
I think they should have been a little bit more, like, prepared the rest of the family before just releasing a statement. This is the power of social media. This is, like, royals in 2020, right? They have control back, they have their own voice, that's great, but I think it is, like, upsetting that the Queen is so hurt by this.
But it's not like he's completely leaving the family. If he wanted to go back and continue his royal duties and be a part of special things, he can do that.
Yeah. Like, is he going to Easter?
Do you know what, darling? I actually don't know that question.
Like, I want to see them at Easter.
Here is the thing. What we're seeing at the moment as far as a rift in the royal family, we have not seen before. Not at this level. Not the royal family versus two members. So who knows what might happen this year?
All right, I have to ask you this because, of course, I read a ton of tweets and comments about this. You did a live on E! News yesterday, and Insta Live, and I saw a bunch of comments coming in, all blaming Meghan. This is Meghan. Meghan runs the household. Meghan is telling Harry what to do. I can't believe she did all this. What do you think?
It's so interesting because Morgan and I both got a text from Justin yesterday. I ignored it. Did you ignore it?
I ignored it because I was I was busy.
Totally. Well, where he kind of said the same thing. Look, this is not about Meghan. This is about Harry having somebody by his side that's given him the strength to be able to make his own decisions and realize that he can change his fate and change his future.
Right.
He has a strong woman by his side. It's not the strong woman that's brainwashed him to make him suddenly leave his family. There is an op-ed from Piers Morgan that is just so horrific and so anti-Meghan. The reason these two are deciding to go their own separate ways is actually because of the hatred that's gone against Meghan in the press. It's not fair. She's somebody who is by his side. They are a partnership and they're doing this for their family, for each other.
And I think that she has definitely tried to fit into this lifestyle, and she even said in that ITV documentary, like, I really did put my best effort out there. And I'm sure Harry sees his wife suffering, and when you see your partner in life suffering, you are hurting as well. Mm-hmm. So this, and when you have a new child like this and you're constantly in the spotlight, all they want to do is just have a normal lifestyle and they can't do it there.
And Harry has suffered. If you, like, on royal tours, Harry hates having to deal with the media. He hates having to do these, like, big official things. It's not where he's comfortable. Like, he's always blamed the media for his mother's death. Like, this is somebody who is now saying, you know what, I've done my work. I want to be able to choose my future. Yeah. And that's exactly what he's doing. And who can blame him for that? He's given us enough.
I imagine it's something that he always had in his head. He always wanted to leave. And then he found a woman who said,
he didn't
know
how to do it.
You can do that, Harry. And he was probably like, I love you.
He did not know how to do it. And now he's found somebody who's like, I know the power of my voice. I know what we can do. I had my voice before I met you. Mm-hmm. This is another way to do things.
This is how I've always felt, but now I have the opportunity.
Wait, can we please talk about finances? Because they're going to find new ways of income since they're not working for the Commonwealth. Therefore, they will not be funded by the people. So do you think that maybe she'll go back to acting?
Yeah, and explain
she could
that.
Do. I don't think you can underestimate how much money these two can bankroll. Now they are independent of the royal family, where they can't really earn money outside of it. Now you're going to be looking at TV production deals. There's obviously Oprah and Harry have announced one already, but I know from sources that there are other things that have been discussed, potential book deals, speaker deals, all of that stuff. And if that money goes towards protecting that family and the charities and the philanthropy work that they want to do, they are going to, there is no door here in Hollywood that will not open for them immediately, no matter what they want to do.
Right.
They're worth more than any celebrity here in this town.
So
they can make
saying, don't
so
worry about them.
Much money for charity.
But what are they going to do? A reality show? Like, how are they going to
Please do a reality show.
You should on this network. That's great.
Well, but what they've said is that they are going to speak to journalists and reporters that are not just part of the usual traditional royal rota, like young reporters, like people who are working on issues that they're very passionate about. These are two people that are absolutely changing the rules of how the royals and the public interact.
Mm. Yeah. Well, don't go away, because we have another topic we want to talk to you about. So up next, Megyn Kelly's emotional confession about a humiliating moment in Roger Ailes' office. You can't miss this.
Did he ask you?
So I was asked to do the spin.
Yeah.
And God help me, I did it.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Megyn Kelly just shared a very powerful teaser for her YouTube show. So in it, she and other former Fox News employees watch a screening of Bombshell, and they talk about what allegedly happened in Roger Ailes' office. Watch this.
I do think we have to talk about the spin, the infamous spin inside of Ailes' office. Did you have to do it? Did you ever have to do the spin?
He asked me to get up and turn around, and I didn't do it.
Did you ever? He never did the twirl thing to me, but he would say, let me just turn around, let me see your ass. You're too skinny, gain some weight, that kind of stuff.
Did he ask you?
So I was asked to do the spin.
Yeah.
And God help me, I did it. I know people think it's like, oh, you had to spin around, but I remember feeling like I put myself through school. I was offered a partnership at Jones Day. I argued before federal courts of appeal all over the nation. I came here, I'm covering the United States Supreme Court. I graduated with honors from all of my programs, and now he wants me to twirl. And I did it. If you don't get how demeaning that is, I can't help you.
Wow, very powerful. How did you guys feel listening to that?
Exactly that. I think that's something that, I mean, the way she just explains, like, all of these sort of accolades and the accomplishments and everything that she did to get to where she was, and for somebody to just be in a position to be like, well, that's cute for you, but could you just spin around so I can see what your body looks like so I can objectify you? And for her to feel like, oh, I'm so powerless in this situation that I have to do it, that's a really hard thing to have to walk away from.
Yeah, and I don't think...
And process.
Right, I don't think you'll ever understand the way that someone in that position can make you feel until you're there. And you can be as strong and as empowered as you think until you're in that position. And you're like, well, shoot, like, my job, my life, my career is on the line for this.
100%.
I've been working, I've been doing all these things to lead up to this moment, to get this opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the person that's standing in front of me that
who
is
has control.
Who has control on whether I get it or not.
And
this is what you've worked your life for. It's the movie is fantastic. I don't know if you guys have seen it.
Yeah, I saw it.
Watching, but was there a part in it where I felt like Megan is going to tell more, because I felt like the one thing the movie kind of left out is, like, Megan, they kind of guarded Megan's story a little bit.
She seemed like the strong sort of, she is, not to say that she's not,
yeah,
but the one that sort of was like the one to stand up to him by not commenting and supporting him when everything went down. Everyone else kind of went to his defense immediately with the whole stuff. So I
think at the end, I'm not going to give anything away from you guys. At the end, we do get a little more insight to what exactly happened to her, but I do think she's going to go further in depth on this
absolutely.
YouTube show,
yes,
because I think that a lot of the stuff she's really kept to herself, and it's really kind of changed your opinion a little bit of Megyn Kelly watching the film and then now getting to see this documentary, because, you know, she was so guarded because she really wanted to have the story right before she ever went public with anything. And that's the journalist in her, and I completely respect that. But I think that wasn't something that the media picked up on.
Mm-hmm.
I think
yeah.
the media took it as, why isn't she standing up? She's not a friend to women, you know, things like that. And they really painted it in an opposite light than what the truth was.
Yeah.
And I mean, it is her story to tell, and I like that she is keeping that for herself, because, you know, the movie can glamorize or it can, you know, fictionalize a lot of things, and you'll never know what actually happened, but hearing it from her mouth and hearing her real thoughts is way more powerful, and I'm sure she needed to take that time to process and to see, what is it that I truly want to say?
Yeah.
What is my truth?
And I love that she's like, so this is on her Instagram, she's like doing a whole like Q&A with the other women that are featured in the film as well.
Love that.
And I love that she is bringing a real voice, right? We're not saying Charlize. It's her saying what actually happened to her.
Yeah. Do you guys think this kind of stuff still happens today?
It does still happen.
Unfortunately.
For sure.
And whether it's a man at the top or whoever it might be, whether it's about somebody's bum or whether it's about how somebody speaks or how somebody looks, it's happening every single day.
Yeah.
That is the way it is. That's... that is the industry, whether people are in film or whatever it might be, it still happens. But what I love about the movement that's happening at the moment, the Me Too movement, is that actually we're talking about it. So if there are young girls or young men who are out there who are experiencing a similar thing, not just in like the entertainment industry, but anywhere, they now know, oh, maybe I don't have to do the twirl, right? Maybe I can, and maybe I can have a voice, and maybe
this
isn't right.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because I think that in the past, like, sometimes we haven't questioned authority because we've been scared.
Yeah.
And now actually, like, we're learning that you can question it and you can still survive.
Being encouraged to.
And hopefully these stories are letting people who are abusing their power know that they cannot do this anymore.
I think that their stories will be aired out. That's a good point.
I remember my husband, I think, when we walked out, and he's like, good. I really hope that the scumbags that do this watch this and are like, I need to stop being a scumbag.
I think that that is how I think people are very, very mindful.
Maybe I'll get
nowadays.
Caught out. Maybe I'll, like, hopefully it puts fear in them as opposed to the fear in that victim. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, the full episode of Megyn Kelly Presents A Response to Bombshell posts on YouTube later
today. I can't
wait. All right. Coming up, reports that Julianne Hough's marriage is in trouble. Were there warning signs? We'll discuss.
Welcome back, guys. Things are a bit rocky for Julianne Hough and her husband, Brooks, at the moment. We're told they're spending time apart, but are not ready to share what's going on just yet. Mm. Our source also adds they don't even really know what to call it because there's a ton of love and emotion there. They're going through something very personal. So we had our morning meeting this morning, Morgan. Mm-hmm. You mentioned that this news doesn't really surprise you.
I know, and I feel like that sounds so negative and so mean, and I've obviously gone through my own struggles in the past year, so I definitely wish them the best, and I really hope that they can figure out whatever is going to make them the happiest. I just feel like when I met them, and I love her, she's a friend of the show, and she's great, and he was so lovely. I don't know, I just felt like I'm not surprised. I don't know what it is. I just feel like
she's... You had a vibe?
Yeah, I just had a little bit of a vibe. And not, by the way, to be very clear, they didn't display anything that sort of alluded to them having any sort of problems. They were actually quite loving towards one another. I just felt like... I don't know, maybe having gone through it myself, you can tell when two people are still sort of like figuring out their own path and still have things that they would like to accomplish. And I feel like it doesn't always fall in line with what your partner wants and the person you married. And so it just kind of causes a little bit of a divide and you get confused. So I'm not surprised and I understand them reevaluating whatever it is that they are going to reevaluate.
I think the public's really sad about this couple.
Yeah.
I know, because they're
love them. And remember, because they would always do the mushy, they have the most beautiful wedding.
Beautiful.
And then they had, you know, these like mushy Instagram posts, and they were just, they're outwardly showing their love. And I think whenever we feel involved in their relationship, like something like a couple that talks about how much they love each other all the time, and then when they break up, you're like,
well, yeah, well, they noticeably stopped posting about each other and really talking about each other and spending time together. I was actually really shocked because I just, whenever I see them together, they do seem like they just have such big hearts and so much love for each other and
which
really
they probably,
open. And that's why I think that they're not putting a label on it right now, because maybe they just need a little bit of time to figure things out.
Exactly. And also, you can love somebody as much as you want. I don't think it's ever a lack of love. I think it's about functioning as two individuals that are better together. Yeah. You can love somebody all day. That doesn't necessarily mean that's going to cover up all of the holes that you need to have a marriage sustain itself. That's love and marriage are two different things.
Yeah.
You love somebody, you marry them, but marriage is an act of work every single day.
Right.
Some people just don't have what it takes to do it with the person they married.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a question. If it's too personal, you can totally say no. Yeah. But like, at what point because I'm listening to their statement and about how like it's still complicated. Like, how long did it take for you to realize, I think I'm actually getting a divorce? Like, not like we're just having problems, but I think we're actually going to get a divorce.
I don't think you ever think in terms of like, we're getting divorced. I think you think in terms of like, am I going to be here in 15 years?
Mm-hmm.
Is this really going to sustain itself? Are we really going to be able to get over sort of the hurdles that we have? And when you start to really doubt that and really not be able to see a sort of future to sort of navigate your way out of sort of like the mess you've created, it's just a general feeling that sort of overtakes you.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And you love them, and of course you question being alone and what your life looks like without them. And in my particular marriage, I mean, I know that these are two working people. We were together for 6 years. Every day, traveled the world together, experienced things that most couples probably don't get to experience together. So we were extremely involved with one another. And ultimately, it was like, we're not functioning as two people that are going to be able to bring children into the world, be together at 45. We just don't have that. And even in the way that we have separated, in the way I have handled it, in the way he has handled it, I now know this was the right choice.
Yeah.
Right.
We're not meant to be partners. And it's still very difficult for me.
Yeah.
Still difficult for me. Yeah. Sometimes.
No, Morgan, I just have to say, like, you've handled this with such grace and just with such strength.
I'm sorry.
Thank you. I'm happy. It's just a lot sometimes.
Of course. It's a lot. It's natural.
Yeah.
So.
We love you.
I need a makeup touch-up now.
All right, guys. Up next, would you date someone based on smell? We'll tell you about the wild new dating trend. It's all next.
It's a mess today. I'm like, you're not well.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
If you're having some trouble finding love online, there's a new approach you guys can try. It's called smell dating.
Wow.
So this is how it works. They send you a shirt. You wear it for 3 days and nights without deodorant.
What?
And then you send it back.
That is disgusting.
Then they send you swatches of potential matches, and you pick who you like. If it's a match between you, the two of you, they set you up, and then it's kind of up to you from there. And you know what else I'd noticed? I don't think they even take gender into consideration. So if you're, I could be wrong, but I think, like, if you're a straight girl, you could still get, like, a girl. Like, you could pick all women.
What is happening?
Why? But if that's not your preference.
Like, I thought last block was going to be the hardest block. What the F of all the Fs is happening? Like, what? First of all, I don't care who's what. That's disgusting. So you're supposed to not shower for those 3 days?
Yeah,
or you don't,
so
or you shower
gross.
And you wear a shirt for 3 days and you don't wear deodorant. I'm somebody, like, I can't, no, doesn't work. And I'm stunning and I can smell bad. You know what I mean?
Especially overnight when, like, I go to bed and I don't want to wear deodorant to bed.
It's bad
but, like,
for you.
But, like, my morning shirt is not going to smell pleasant.
No, and also, like, you just, like, sleep. That's why, like, I don't want to ever have a sleepover with anyone new. I'm like, can you leave?
Well, and also the people around you at work are going to be like, are you just going to wear that shirt 3 days in a row? Okay,
well, some
you're just
going
to have to explain
so
to everybody,
weird.
Well, I'm trying this new dating app.
But not everyone's so regimented about their hygiene, which is disgusting.
But they
like,
say,
it's the truth. Like, some people can not shower in the morning and then go all day, and then they can, like, shower the next, like, at night.
I don't want a shirt that has gone through all of that.
I don't either. It's pheromones, right? You want to
think about that, though. Like, is that important to you when you guys are, like, dating a guy, like, their smell? Do you notice that immediately?
I think some people also have a naturally more distinct smell than others.
Yeah,
I feel like
right.
I'm somebody that does. Like, I always have a certain perfume that people recognize. I feel like if I'm dating, married to... Well, here we go again. My ex-husband smelled really good.
Yeah.
Cool. And so, call him later. Anyway, but like, and you know, new guy, I do look to that, Chris, is the short answer. You have something to add to that? What's that?
Okay, well, I find that I'm not attracted, or I'm not okay tolerating someone's strong pheromones unless I really love them. Like, I don't like your natural smell until I'm, like, in love with you.
Really? But even then,
like,
do you like...
Well, not like a sweaty smell. Nobody smells good after the gym. Let's
but you
just
know
get
how
that
you
up.
Can tolerate your husband's scent because
yeah.
it's like, oh, Shannon I love you so much.
Smell.
Like, I can just deal with your nastiness.
Yeah.
I can't deal with that without knowing you and loving you first.
But I think that's everyone. I think that's a natural progression. I don't think people are like, he's so hot, he smells bad, and it's okay. Like, no. I think you need to, like...
Well, and how many people... Even just based off looks, sometimes, like, you'll start dating a guy. Like, there's guys I've dated in the past where I didn't think they're the most attractive guy in the whole entire world, but there's their personality, and they were funny, and everything just chimed. And then, like, a couple months in, I'm like, all of a sudden, I'm like, you're actually really freaking hot. I don't know what I was thinking.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And then I look back now, I'm like, no, they weren't.
that personality will get you every time,
let me
tell you.
Time.
It's working for me, you know?
All right, you guys have a lot of thoughts on Meghan and Harry's decision to leave the royal family. We're going to read some of those thoughts now. So Tate says, I think it's a brave and much-needed step for them. They are doing what's best for their family, and I admire that.
Ooh.
Noreen says, I feel like everyone will blame Meghan, but I think Harry always wanted to leave. Meghan just gave him the reason and the push to do it. I agree with that.
Yes.
And John says, it's not surprising, but it is going to be sad not seeing both of them doing royal engagements. Mm. As much hate as the media gives them, there's millions of people like myself who love them dearly. I agree. I do hope that it's not the end of, like, those foursome photos. Like,
I think those photos are pretty halted. I'm sure that Prince William, just my own personal take, I think he's probably pissed at his brother and is like, this is your sort of, it is Harry's duty. I understand that he's the spare heir and the 12th in line or whatever. It's still the family he was born into. There's still a level of responsibility. I know that it's maybe not necessarily what he wants, but we don't always want to have to get up at 5 o'clock every morning, well, but also, we do. Like, there's certain responsibilities.
There has to be some jealousy, right, that William has, because Harry can leave.
Well, he has freedom, yeah. Sure.
And,
well, he
can and William never had that option. Neither does Prince George. They, like, do not have that option. They will be king. He never got to look at any other alternative options.
I don't even think he can fathom that lifestyle because he's just so wrapped up in his royal duties and the job that is at hand. I don't think he could even imagine being in L.A. and shopping at Erewhon and getting papped going to the AMC.
I know, taking
that's hikes. What we're going to get, and I'm excited for it.
I don't know, but I also feel like there's the flip side of it where Meghan and Harry could maybe miss it a little bit. Like, I think she's going to, like, there's a part of it that she must enjoy, and, like, she is sort of this, like, fashionista for the royals, and I just don't know. I mean, living in Canada, I don't know. Are they going to go full Hollywood? I don't know.
I think she's going to enjoy wearing skirts above the knees for once without being ashamed for it.
Yeah, that's true. All right, coming up, are you and your partner speaking the same love language? How you can heat up your relationship next. Stay with us. Welcome back. We have sexologist Shan Boodrum here. Woo! And you guys may have heard about these, but we're going to dissect them, the five love languages. Mm-hmm. All right, tell everyone, what are the five love languages?
So it's words of affirmation, you've got gifts, you have acts of service, you have quality time and physical touch.
Okay. Before the show, we all took the love language test. And before we reveal what each other's are, I think I can guess your guys's.
Okay, fine.
Okay, go. Okay, so, and we'll start with Morgan.
Why am I always the one to go first? Okay.
Okay, Morgan, I am pretty positive your love language is gifts.
Do I answer?
Okay, what do you think? Do you think that I'm right?
I would say Morgan's is physical touch.
Oh.
Oh, well, see, not everyone knows me well, so well.
I want to know why you think it's gifts.
Yeah.
She likes things. A lot.
I love things.
Oh, so this is your love language.
I'm not saying what it is. When can I say it?
Now. I think you could say it right now. But it's actually not that far off.
My number one is acts of service.
Oh.
Bitches.
You want people to work for you.
And my number two is receiving gifts.
Okay, so what's acts of service?
Acts of service is somebody that makes your life more convenient, helps you with things. If I'm really struggling with something, I really appreciate when my partner steps in and helps. Or if I'm overwhelmed, they can come in and help. I like physical activity towards Morgan's convenience.
There we go.
That is way that, like, if I'm overwhelmed and somebody comes in and is like, how can we help this? I'm like, okay. Like, love. I love that. That's okay. Love for me.
Okay.
Do I go in my order?
No, those are great. The top two and the bottom one's probably the most interesting ones to know. But what's interesting about your score is that you've got a clear winner. A lot of people have, like, a top two that ties.
I'm very distinct. What
you're
is it?
You're very distinct, yes.
So what is that, my acts of service?
No, yeah, acts of service is the 10 points above and 7 points below. So I think that all of you guys actually had really strong winners.
Okay. Yes, okay.
Guess mine.
Erin, I think yours is quality time.
So do I. I agree.
You guys saw my score, didn't you?
No, we did it.
It's quality time. I think.
Yes, it is.
It's very clearly quality time.
But I also feel like, isn't it sort of where you are in your life, maybe? Like, in your relationship, like, I was thinking, when I was answering my questions, I was thinking about in terms of, like, my last relationship and, like, what I needed more of or how that would have really helped. So I don't know if that's necessarily the who I am right now. Mm-hmm. Like, I might fall so much in love with somebody that I want their physical touch more than I want their acts of service. Or is it not subject to change?
No, I mean, it's absolutely subject to change. I think that you don't have to get married to one. It doesn't get written in a scribe and, like, put into a tomb somewhere.
Right, you can
change it and update it. But I do think it's massively important to pick one. Because I think there's nothing worse. You know when someone says, what do you want for dinner? And you're like, anything.
Yeah.
And you're like, what specifically? Like, I don't know, whatever you want. And then you pick the wrong thing. So direction is just a way for someone to get to know you, and then they can get the nuances along the way. So people really should say, hey, I'm quality time. And then as time goes on, I get to know you more. I can, like, learn the nuances of quality time, but on Tuesdays, she likes physical touch. Mm. And that's why I think you really do have to start with something firm, though.
Right, okay.
What's your number two close to your number one?
Acts of service, which was, it was 7.
That's close.
Yeah.
What was your top number?
11.
Oh, my.
So is that...
It's not that close.
Not that close?
No, yeah. These are actually, like I said, again, some people have a lot of, like, threes that tie or two that tie. These are really, like, your partner should know. This is the go-to. I think also, too, it's kind of the go-to. You know when you're feeling low or having an off day?
Yeah.
This is what your partner can do to really pick you up.
True yeah. that.
Amen. Carissa, I'm very torn on you. I'm going to go with, I feel like it's acts of service.
I was going to say that, too.
Or, wait, don't answer. Or words of affirmation.
I think you're acts of service.
I think you're acts of service. Damn it.
No.
Words of affirmation.
None of those.
Physical touch?
Yes.
Really? You're physical touchy?
Yeah.
No way.
I am. I'm physical
touchy. We didn't know that.
Yeah, it's physical touch, but I'm a 9, and then my words of affirmation are an 8. So I'm like neck and neck.
Okay, so I was right.
Wait, you know what's crazy? My physical touch is 0, and I thought I was a touchy person. I thought that
wait,
I liked it.
Zero.
My, I don't.
My gifts was like my lowest one, because gifts, I like gifts, and I'm excited for the moment that I have them, but it doesn't make me feel like you love me more because you got me a gift. Like, I don't feel more loved if I get a gift. I'm just like, cool. A gift. But if like you said, I'm having a hard day and I'm sad, or if I need something and like Shan hugs me or like cuddles with me or something like that, that's like, I don't even need you to say anything sometimes. You know, sometimes it's just like, that's all I wanted. Like, just, you know, I'm here for you. Like, it doesn't have to, like, it can be sex, but it doesn't have to always be sex. It
yes.
could just be like cuddling or just like, hey, you know, how are you? Or holding your hand or little things like that.
What does it mean if you get a 0? For physical touch.
You might have been menstruating when you took the quiz. You don't want to touch at the time.
Wow!
It could mean.
I mean, I don't want to say on TV, but it could be a thing.
Oh my God, is that what it is?
You know what? She kept on asking me, like, is a hug more meaning for you or a gift? I'm like, well, a gift is more meaningful.
I think also, too, it's like
if it said, if it is a kiss more meaningful, that's more.
Also, it is a very pushy quiz.
It is, yes. But it's trying
very
to push you
invasive.
To a result.
Right. So I was like, you're asking me the same thing. I'm upset with you.
What do you do if your partner's love language is completely different than yours? Because
yes.
my husband's is completely different than mine.
I think a really big misconception about love languages is that you're supposed to have one that you like and one that you like to speak to others. So like, oh, I love physical touch, but I love speaking gifts. Where it's like, it's kind of bizarre. It's like going to their country and being like, I love to speak English. Where it's mm-hmm. like, well, we speak French here. So
okay.
good for you. You have to adapt to the environment. So I think that you want to learn your partner's love language and try to learn how to speak it to them.
Yeah. But is the goal to get a partner with the same love language?
I don't think so. I mean, it's convenient because you don't have, the learning curve is not as steep, but I think that it's not that big of a deal just to start adopt it. You know, my partner's is words of affirmation. That's the bottom one for me. So I have to be really mindful that compliments are really important to them, even though for me, I can go without them. So
yeah.
I think as long as you prioritize it, it doesn't matter if it's different than yours.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
All right.
You
well,
have
can you stay with us for a little bit? Because we want to talk about more things.
I want to talk about that T-shirt thing.
Oh yeah.
Just, I'm into it.
Okay.
Just,
all right. We'll be right back with Shan when we come back. All right. Welcome back. We are talking love languages with sexologist Shan Boodram. So, say your partner's love language is gifts. Does that mean, like, you go buy them a watch, or...?
You had a really great example of this. It's just not you were talking about over the break, that gifts just really means, am I paying attention to what's important to you?
Mm.
So thinking about, like, a small thing that would pick up your day. So your favorite chocolate bar, mm-hmm. a book that you had since childhood, something that says, I'm paying attention. I actually have a friend who's amazing at gifts. We played Monopoly, and I was missing, the community chess cards, and then she eBayed them to me the next day.
Aww.
The small little things like that.
Oh, my God,
that.
You have great friendship.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah. She was awesome. She's a sweetheart. So I think it's more about, you know, like, those... And it's pointed stuff as well, too. I think for words of affirmation, is a big difference between saying that's a beautiful dress and you have great style. So it's really learning what kinds of words of affirmation that they're looking for.
So what's an example of, like, not just, because that's a compliment, right? So what's a word of affirmation, what are words of affirmation? Like, what does that consist of?
I think
of?
Things that start with you are. Like, you are really smart. Like, you're really good at timing.
You deserve that promotion.
You deserve that.
I'm
versus,
so proud of you. Is that a word of affirmation or no? That's just more of a...
It can be if it feels like that for you. I hate being told people, I hate the pride word. Unless, like, we're, like, actively working together. But some people may really enjoy that. But I see that you work really hard. You're such a hard worker. So affirming qualities about someone that they may revere in themselves, that's what words of affirmation is.
Mm. Okay, and we talked about physical touch. Quality time, that's just, like, spending time together, doing things, making time for your partner.
Yeah.
Right?
Uninterrupted time, uninterrupted.
What's quality time for you?
It could be anything from going on a hike to sitting on the couch and watching your favorite show or making dinner or date nights, like just literally spending time with each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I feel like when we go, if we ever go days without spending time, then I feel like, oh my gosh, I'm going crazy. Like, what is going on? Our relationship is doomed.
Yeah.
And if you feel like your partner's acts of service, do the dishes.
There you go.
It's amazing what dishes can do.
It's very true. And you can, I mean, there are, that's why you have a one and two, right? So, like, if you were saying most men's number one is words of affirmation.
Yes, correct.
And then their second could be acts of service, so that could go into the dishes.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's like, I look at these almost sometimes like crisis mode tools you can use when your partner is having that day that you want to just really step in and be there for them. Gary Chapman, who actually is the author of Love Languages, has apology languages too.
And let me tell you, I need that one.
Those
back.
Will change your life. Like what it's a those? Cheat code to life essentially because you'll get into this argument with your partner, speak their apology language, and the argument is over like magic. And you're
what?
Just like, what in the?
It's I'm sorry wonderful. You feel that way. Or no, that's passive aggressive.
No, that's a bad one. That's never anyone's apology.
I was
apology.
Kidding. That was a setup.
Sorry,
I do want to ask because I was curious to see what, because you can do a child's love language.
Yes.
Two apparently is a little young. I think they just want all the things at two. I think it started at like five. But how do you dissect what your child's love language is and will that change over time?
Yeah, I think the easiest way obviously is to ask the person, do the quiz with them. But on the flip side, it's how you guys did each other's just now. You make observations about what makes them happy, what they tend to be drawn towards, like when they light up, when they get certain compliments or certain acts, you start taking note of those things. I think love languages should not just be reserved for romantic partners. It should be workplace.
And friends.
And friends, exactly.
Because mm-hmm. That's true, because we all do pay attention. I mean, we are all sort of in a relationship together anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, we're together
we know
every day.
Hurt someone's feelings or not.
What they're sensitive about.
Or make them happy. Like, I know a Celsius in the morning will make you happy.
Totally. And we do, we've picked up on each other's sort of isms. And, like, we know if, like, one of us is having a bad day, then the other one sort of has to pick it up and kind of... Who's the cutest people ever? Are you kidding? Are we the sweetest? I can't even handle this today.
We are really emo today.
God, what is going on? Are you rubbing off your menstrual cycle? I'm dying.
I'm sorry.
Cracking at the seams right
but
now.
But do not effing touch me right now. You said you wanted to talk about the smell dating. Do you believe in this? Do you think this dating app would work?
I do believe in it. I think that it would work, and I think that we have been... conditioned into believing that natural smells are disgusting. If your natural smell is disgusting, change your diet. I don't think that we're conditioned to believe we have to put all these like sprays and deodorizers. Like our natural smell is gross. It is wonderful. There are parts of it, and if it isn't that wonderful, that's probably an indicator of something that should change in what you put into your body.
Yes, I agree with that. It doesn't necessarily mean just because you don't shower you're disgusting. It just means that like you, it is a diet thing. I think you really do need to be cognizant of like what you're eating and how it bounces. That's why everyone's so obsessed with diet to see like because it doesn't just it's not about a weight thing, it's about how you feel, it's an energy level, it's how you smell.
Yeah, because what goes in you is what's showing on the outside.
And doesn't always come out of you, which is also what needs to be changed.
Sometimes when the smell is not that appealing, but you can't stop smelling it, like you're like, you don't think it's that good, but you're like going back at it a couple times.
Really shifted my breakfast right now.
Okay, so she's for the smelling dating app.
Have you never had an ex's t-shirt that you like?
Oh, no, I did.
Right.
A pillow, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Are you taking pillows now?
I did. I stole a pillow. It was a great pillow. Nobody knows that.
Well, now the whole world knows it.
Thank you, Shan.
Thank you for having me.
This was so informative.
Physical touch is mine, so thanks,
Mark. I'm a very fit. Anyway, thank you.
Check her book out. It's called The Game of Desire. It is out now. I love that cover.
It's a good cover. Yeah.
All right, we'll be right back with more Daily Pop after this. We are back with a tweet. Nikki has a message for you, Morgan.
Oh.
She says, I love how you're so transparent. Thank you for sharing in an honest way.
Oh, thank you. Mm-hmm.
You are the sweetest. And you're really good at that.
Yeah, thank you. It's always Carissa that gets me to get
a
little.
I don't mean to. I kind of have that power sometimes.
You do.
I pull the emotions out of people. Okay, now we have more of Selena Gomez's interview with WSJ Magazine, where both she and Taylor Swift got candid about their close friendships. Selena said Taylor is one of her best friends in the whole wide world. And we also found this interesting. Taylor says, quote, I have the ability to forgive people who have hurt me. But I don't know if I can forgive someone who hurts her. So my question for you guys, is it easier for you to forgive someone who has hurt you or someone who has hurt your friend?
I sort of follow my friend's lead on that situation. It's very tricky because if you are friends with somebody, they're having a difficult time in their relationship and it continues and they never ever sort of change it, you start to dislike their partner, but then you realize that's not really your place because they're not changing the situation. So do you get what I'm saying? I mean, it's not exactly what this is, but like if my let's say my friend's husband left and cheated on her and never spoke to her again and walked out on her, I would never forgive him again, but I wouldn't. But if she did, then I would be cordial to him.
You'd have no choice,
yeah.
right?
I wouldn't. Stuck with it. Yeah, I wouldn't take something on that at the end of the day is not mine. Would I be nice to him and go out of my way? No, but like I would just follow my friend's lead. I think you have to.
I think I'm the same way with that.
I think I forgive the person who hurts me easier.
Oh, really?
I think that's essentially what she's saying, right?
That is, no, you're right.
Yeah.
She's saying that. She's basically saying, whoever wrongs me, I can get over, but if you hurt my best friend, like, I have a problem.
Right.
And we've seen all the photos of her kind of giving Justin Bieber a bad look, like, when they've walked through the crowd.
I know.
Like, she's probably just sick of it, but it's just, you can't, ultimately, it's not your relationship, so you've got to just let them do what they want.
Yeah. And sometimes your friend's just like, just be supportive. It's fine.
Yeah.
All right. That's it for us today. Thanks so much for joining us. Hope you had a fun day. Tomorrow, we have tips on how to cleanse and reset for the new year. Mm. Bye.
Bye.
No more tears tomorrow.
No happy tears show tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the podcast edition of Daily Pop. Remember, we've got a new episode every day. Make sure to subscribe and have a great rest of your day.